This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated for a moment. We've been enjoying our family this week. We've had 7 grandkids, and both kids and their spouses squeezed in the house. And I can honestly say for all this week, I have not gone to the restroom one time without having kids bang on the door, the window. Bebop, are you in there? Are you in there? I said, please leave me alone. They found out the door next to the toilet outside by the pool is right beside it. They're banging on that. Are you in there? Yes, I'm in here. Leave me alone. Holy mackerel. I mean, I've enjoyed them tremendously. It's been exciting, but I am anticipating some relief soon. Wow. So what fun. What fun we have. So we want to greet each other today, and we want to welcome back Bill and Glenda. Bill has fought through COVID for months and months and months. Let's give them a big hand. Good to have them back. Praise the Lord. So let's stand together and wave at each other, fist bump, whatever y'all do. Let's greet each other and give a greeting. Please be seated. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you and praise you so much for all your provisions in our life and everything you do for us, everything you give us. Thank you, Lord, for family, for friends, for love. And we ask you, please, to just pour your Spirit out upon us today. We pray that you would use us in our relationships to reconcile everybody we know to you. We just ask you, please, to open those doors for us to share you and your love with everyone we know. And Father, again, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. And thank you again for all the provisions you've given us in our life. We love you. And thank you for sharing your heart and your life and your knowledge with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Announcements. Sophia.
Good morning. I hope everyone's Thanksgiving was great and that you were stuffed. I know I was. I was so stuffed that I slept the rest of the day. So hope everyone's was as good as mine. All right. First and foremost, if you are a guest, please look in your sail. And there's a little part at the end that you can just rip out really easy. You can just fill that out and place it in the offering. It really helps us connect with you and for you to connect with us. And as always, life groups are still meeting Sundays at 9:15. If you come to the church lobby at 9, a greeter will take you to your class. Now next Sunday, December 5th at 4 p.m., there is going to be worship at the Lodge. It's a musical presented by the FBC Choir. And there will be Christmas songs and, you know, just really get ready for the Christmas season. Also, next Sunday night is our youth plaid Christmas party. It is a youth tradition every year at the Cobo home that we do a really fun plaid Christmas party. And it is it's from 5 to 8. The address and more information is in the sale. Just bring a wrapped gift valued at $10 and wear plaid. It's the only requirements. And there is, yes. So ladies, mark your calendars for the Ladies Christmas Tea Party. I know I'm very excited about that. The tickets are on sale. Ladies, $12.50 and girls are $5. And there is free childcare. So Wednesday night activities are still continuing. This Wednesday night dinner and Devo, we will be looking at the third church this week from the seven churches of Revelation. And the dinners are still going on, so I hope to see you there. And always, we encourage you to pray about the budget, and we still need some help catching up. So if the Lord lays it on your heart, we would love that. Thank you.
Last Sunday night, we had the fundraising concert for our project, 76 Project, and praise the Lord, it was one of the sweetest times. Everybody, all the music talent in our church singing, we just sensed the presence of the Lord the entire night, and just had a joyous worship time, and we raised $18,500. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And then the Sunday morning, that morning, in the like the hour before worship, nine of our members got together and put together a $32,000 matching pledge for us, and want to encourage you to help us to hit that matching $32,000 that can be $64,000. And we praise the Lord for that as well. Let's give the Lord a big hand for that. Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another day you have given us, and we thank you for all the privileges you allow us to have. And we praise you that we can come and worship you in a country like this, and that we can have the freedom to worship. We pray that you be with the pastor and just endow him with your Holy Spirit as he speaks your word to us, whether it's what he has planned or not, that you would just empower him, dear God. Pray that you be with each family represented here and keep us all healthy and safe, and that you'd meet our needs each and every day. And if there's one here that does not know you as personal Savior, that they may come to know you before they leave this place. We just ask that you would bless this offering, tithes and offerings, that may be used to glorify your name here and around the world. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. Amen. Thank you, choir. That was sweet. Praise the Lord. I'd like to release our children for Children's Church. We went around to give thanks with the family, and we were all thankful for different things. I was thankful for unlimited food. When we were in Pakistan, we were eating with a family out in the Northwest Frontier Province, a translator's family, and he was gone. The guy was gone, but we were there with his wife and all their kids, and so it was Shay and Kim and I, and they gave us what they had. They just really, they're just one rung above starvation. And so we were eating, and Shay and Kim had some gristle on the little bit of meat that they had, and they chewed around it, and they put the gristle back on the plate. And the mom took that gristle, and then she kind of cut it up and handed it out to the children, because that's how tight food was. And we were real thankful. But then it swung around to one of my grandsons, and he said, "I just want to thank you for saving all of us in Jesus' name." And I said, "That's awesome. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Grandson's thankful for salvation. That's awesome." So today I want to share with you, as a question that came up the last couple of weeks, the destination of the human soul. And I think it's always a great time for us to look at that, and so we're going to be looking today at actually three destinations, and I don't want to confuse you, but I hope this will bring some light and clarity. And for our introduction today, we're going to begin in an unusual way. I haven't done this before like this, but I was given by Dr. D. James Kennedy, the pastor of Coleridge Presbyterian Church, one of the largest Presbyterian churches in the nation, when he was there when he was alive. And I went there to be certified in evangelism explosion. He prepared the evangelism explosion program. And while I was there for the seminar, he referred to an interview he had made with an atheist in his office who had clinically died and went to hell. And he interviewed him about that. And so I spoke to him after the session, one of the sessions, and I said, Dr. Kennedy, can I have a copy of that? And he said, most certainly, Daryl. So he had his technician make me a copy, and I got a copy of a cassette tape of it. And Jim has graciously shifted it to digital. We've edited it a little bit just for sake of time, but I want to play this to you, and we will make these available next week if you'd be interested in one to play to some lost friends or to your family or whatever, so you can have this information as well. It's Dr. Kennedy interviewing an atheist who had clinically died and had been resuscitated seven times. So we're going to roll the tape. I want you to listen to this.
You said that before this happened, you were reared in the...
I was reared in the Catholic Church. And I sort of lost any faith, if you want to call it that. And
you said you...
I lost faith in just about every religion.
You said you felt you could actually call yourself an atheist?
Yes, I guess you could say that.
Very interesting.
In the past maybe 10, 15 years, you could call me an atheist. I would call myself an atheist. Because like I say, the only thing I believed in was that when you died, you just went to sleep. And that was the end of it. I mean, this I believe.
What a lot of people believe.
And I felt that religion was extremely commercial.
No. Is there any way to knock the gain down onto the bass? Or? I know, it's the quality cassette tape. Well, I'll just share the story with you. How's that? Okay. So basically, this man was sitting there, and Dr. Kennedy said, I grew up pretty irreligious. And he said, the reason I'm here, you know, visiting your church is because I clinically died, and I was brought back to life. And he said, well, what happened? He said, well, I had a heart attack. I had several. And so he said, are you an atheist? And he said, well, yes, I am. I'm completely irreligious, haven't believed in God. And until this experience happened, I died. And so Dr. Kennedy talks to him about his pain he experienced, the things he saw there. And one of the things Dr. Kennedy pointed out is in our dreams, and I'm sure we can all verify this, we don't have pain in our dreams. When you have a dream, there's not a pain experience. Now, you may die or get hit by a car or something like it in your dreams, but you don't experience pain in your dreams. And so he said, well, what's been your pain experience? And so when the man was 9 years old, he got his foot caught in a railroad track, and it smashed the end of his leg and tore it off. And he drug himself as a 9-year-old boy to the switching part of the tracks with just a ligament holding the bottom of his leg on, and waited, and they rushed him to an emergency with, you know, losing blood. He said squirted all over the windshield and the dash of the vehicle, the man who took him to emergency. He said, that was unbelievable pain, but I was also in shock as a small boy. And he said, then later I was working as a mechanic and gasoline spilled all over my trousers, the pants leg, and then it ignited and caught on fire, and it burned up his tennis shoe and his leg to the point where he had to have his leg amputated. And so he had artificial legs, and he said, that was unbelievable. But he said, when I died and I went to hell, he said, I experienced a pain that I can't even describe, nothing like on this earth at all, a permeating pain through he didn't use the term, but basically he described every molecule of his body all at the same time. And he said it would not go away. He said, "You in life, you do things to get relief. I do this with my hip. I've got the artificial hip, and usually it's pretty good. Then I've got a torn meniscus in my right knee, so I'll put a pillow down and throw one leg up on the pillow to elevate it, and I'll get relief from my knee. Or sometimes I'll lay on my back and put a pillow and bow both of my knees over it, and that'll give me relief." You know those experiences where you'll rub something with Bengay or something else, and you'll get relief. We get relief. You'll do that right here. Maybe your back's a little sore. You'll shift in your seat. You get relief. And he went through that kind of description, and he said, "I got no relief whatsoever. There was nothing that could deviate or mitigate the pain, this excruciating pain all over me, all at the same time." And he said, I had the sensation of being alone, and then they resuscitated me. And so he goes through and describes that, and then basically that the interview ends with that. And we'll still make these available. You can hear them in a smaller version if it's not over public PA. And so he went through this interview. Dr. Kennedy was trying to win him to Christ, and Dr. Kennedy shared with me that the man did not receive Christ. He said, "I'm kind of a party guy. I do like to drink, and I do love women. I'm not married, and so an immoral man." And so he said, "I'm going to live a little longer, party a little longer, then give my life to Christ." And so about less than a year, six to nine months later, Dr. Kennedy didn't see him in the services anymore. He inquired around, what happened to, I don't know what his name is, but what happened to him, you know, the guy that came in? And they said he had a sudden massive heart attack and died again. And to their knowledge, he went right back to hell. Now that's going to fit our passage today when we look at Luke 16. And we see Abraham's description with Lazarus and the rich man. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Luke 16. And we're going to look at three locations in history for the human soul. We're going to look at hell. We're going to look at Abraham's bosom. And we're going to look at heaven. These three locations. So first of all, in Luke chapter 16... let's begin with verse 19 of Luke 16. "Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades," or hell, "he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom," or, you know, next to him. "And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he's being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there's a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.'" This was their contemporary reference to the Bible. At that time, there was only the Old Testament, and they would refer to it, the Pentateuch, as Moses, and then the prophetic books as the prophets. And so this was a reference to the Bible. And Abraham said, they have the Bible. Let them hear that. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to the Bible, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Of course, our illustration with the man with Dr. Kennedy is a man who actually had been resurrected from the dead, or at least resuscitated, and he didn't even repent. And he even died and went back to hell. So we see in this story two of the locations historically. While Jesus was still alive, before Jesus had been crucified in time and space and history, when Jesus Christ was still alive on earth during his earthly ministry. And so this is the event, and this is what happened, these two men. Now, the Mormons will tell you, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, especially the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, that this is a parable, that it's just a story that's not really, it didn't really happen. The Jehovah's Witness will tell you there is no hell. But they have a giant inconsistency and problem. Their Bible, the New World Translation, a spurious commentators and scholars don't accept it as a very serious translation. And yet their translation here has the rich man lifting up his eyes and he cries out and he says, have mercy on me, for I'm in agony in this blazing fire. And so their translation's more literal than ours. And the fact is, this is not a parable. Anytime Jesus used proper names, these were real men. And of course, history tells us the rich man was Dives. And we see that these men had real names. They were real people. They existed at the time of Christ. And both of them died and went out into eternity. I was looking on Face This Book this morning, and I was shocked to find out that one of my dear pastor friends, Pastor Enviro, died from COVID just in the last few weeks. And a middle-aged guy, very, very wonderful man of God. And so we all take our turns in the timetable, and if Jesus tarries, we all eventually we'll take our place moving out, graduating into eternity. So here we see this story. Abraham's bosom. If you'll look in verse 22, and he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger. And we see this referred to as Abraham's bosom. Now, I believe in theology of movements of theology and belief systems of different groups, that they have reasons for them. I've never believed in purgatory, and probably most of you haven't unless you've had a Catholic background. And yet, purgatory has been a tenet of Catholicism. It's been a doctrine of Catholicism. And I was talking this week with a previous Catholic, and we were talking about this, and this question came up. Well, what about purgatory? And I said, well, I believe that the Catholic theologians took Abraham's bosom, and that's where they use as a foundation for purgatory. And a place that's not heaven, and it's not hell. But they have a big problem. And the problem is, in the New Testament, it says that Jesus Christ closed it. It's not open for rent anymore. You can't get an apartment in Abraham's bosom any longer. It's not available anymore. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. We see throughout the Old Testament references, and when the Old Testament saints died, except for two exceptions, it doesn't talk about them going to heaven. The only two were Elijah and Enoch. It said, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him to heaven. And Elijah got on a chariot of fire and flew to heaven. And these are the only two references to people going to heaven in the Old Testament. Now, it does talk about them going to their fathers. We will go to our fathers. Here's a couple of examples. In Genesis, if you want to jot these notes or references down, Genesis 35, 29. And Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, an old man of ripe age, and his son Esau and Jacob buried him. And then we see next in Genesis 49, verse 29, we see again a reference. And he charged them and said to them, I'm about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron, the Hittite. And we see this reference to Abraham. And then in verse 33 of the same passage, or Jacob. And when Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. And again and again and again and again in the Old Testament. Now, why would they not be going to heaven? Were they saved? Yes, they were saved. And they were saved looking forward to Christ, the Messiah, like the Messianic Psalms, like Isaiah the prophet. They were looking forward to what Jesus was going to do in the future, like we look back on it as a historical event. They looked one way prophetically. We look one way historically. But the fact is, Jesus had to be the first fruit of the resurrection. Jesus Christ had to be the first one to resurrect eternally. And so that had to happen in time, space, and history. The payment wasn't made until Christ was stretched out on Calvary and he cried out to Tetelestai, it is finished. Paid in full. And at that point, when he died, we see that the payment was made. And we see in the Gospels, in some obscure references, that Old Testament saints resurrected and they saw them walking around in Jerusalem. And then we see in Ephesians 4, this passage where he says he led captivity captive. All of the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down the line, David, everybody, Adam, Seth, all the different ones, Abel, all of the godly ones had to go and they had to wait there in Abraham's bosom for Christ to make the payment. And so here he led captivity captive, and then verse 9 of Ephesians 4, he ascended. What does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself he who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So when Jesus did this in those 3 days, now the Apostles' Creed says that Jesus went to hell. I don't believe that's accurate. I think he went to Abraham's bosom and emptied it out. Come on, boys. Come on, girls. Let's go. You can go now. And released them to heaven, closed down Abraham's bosom. Sorry, purgatory closed. Can I hear an amen? So there's always only been two destinations of the human soul. Historically, up for the first millennia of creation, when godly people died, they went to Abraham's bosom. Now, it's described by Abraham as what happens between there and hell. He said there's a great gulf, if you would, the Grand Canyon, fixed between us. So you can't come over here and we can't go over there. There is no, when a coffer springs in the cup, a soul from purgatory springs. No, there's no such thing. There's not such a thing. He says, you can't come over here, we can't go over there. And so, but they could see each other at this point. And so here you have the rich man in hell, and he sees Lazarus, recognizing that's that beggar on earth that was begging at my table, begging for table scraps. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, we see another reference to Christ and his going to the heart of the earth, not going to heaven. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so we believe probably that Abraham's bosom and hell in the heart of the earth. And so we see this reference. Now let's look at hell. Let's look at hell through the eyes of the rich man and his experience. First of all, we see, as the man interviewed with Dr. Kennedy, tremendous agony and torment without relief for eternity. No aspirin, no Bengay, no comfortable position. Agony, torment that we can't describe. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go there. I have prayed for Ayatollah Khomeini and Bin Laden and others to get saved. You wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there. We want to witness to everybody. We want to share Christ. There's not a human on earth I wouldn't share Jesus with or attempt to win to Christ. Not a one. I mean, I thought I'd been hacked in my bank account the other night, and I was freaking out. And so I called Chase, and all I'm thinking about is someone's taking it while we're speaking. It's flowing out. Here it goes. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. Here it goes, you know. Family can testify that. Freaking out. And then after I talked to the fraud guy, and he assured me about some things and talked through a few things with me, immediately I shifted over and I said, "Can I ask you a question?" "Yeah, yes, Mr. Orme, what's your question?" "In your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven when they die?" He said, "Well, you got to follow the Ten Commandments, but to be honest with you, I don't think anybody can do it." And that's all I've got, but I don't even think it's achievable. And I said, "Can I share with you?" He said, "Please do." And he was in India. And so I shared Jesus with him, and he prayed and gave his heart and life to Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so why did I do that? Even though I was freaking out, I had to calm my spirit. I had to settle down. I thought my identity's gone and everything else, whatever. I thought, you think the worst and start immediately worrying about it. But then I thought, this is more important. And when I got off the phone, the family was waiting for me. We'd been playing a game together. And they said, "That's why you had to freak out about the account, so that man would get saved. And when I get to heaven, that'll be what we remembered that night, is George giving his life to Jesus." But we see here that this rich man is in torment. He's in agony. Jesus described it to the disciples. Fear Gehenna, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. So think about that. Not only agonizing pain, but being riddled with living, eternal worms that don't die. They continually devour you, but you don't get devoured. I mean, it's the most unbelievable thing you can possibly imagine. And then we see recognition. He recognized Lazarus. He said, "Please send Lazarus back to my family." We see thirst. He said if he could just dip the finger, the tip, the very end of his finger in water and touch it on my tongue, I'm tormented in this flame. Can you imagine being so thirsty or in such absolute depraved agony that you would think that the water, the moisture on the end of a finger would be a relief? Can you imagine? I had a little imagination out when we did 3-a-days in football, but that was a different story. So, thirst, separated. There are many, many, many interviews that you could read now of people who've clinically died and went to hell and went to heaven and been resuscitated. There's groups now of Christian emergency workers that have been trained to interview people with the near-death experiences. There's books written that are amazing to read, and you hear stories of people that didn't believe in anything, no afterlife, and then they clinically died, stress test, heart attack, went to hell, got resuscitated, begged the doctor to lead them to Christ. And in one instance I heard and read and saw, the guy, the doctor said, "What are you doing, man? Let go of me." Grabbed his shirt. "Please don't let me go back there. Please help me, help me, help me." And he said, "Man, I'm not a cleric. I'm a heart doctor. Let go of me. Please help me." "All right." And then he did lay me down to sleep. "My soul will keep" prayer, a kid prayer that he remembered. It's the only thing the doctor could think of. The guy said it, died. He resuscitated him. And then he said, "Why did you bring me back?" He said, "Are you insane, man? Do you have a split personality? A while ago, you almost tore my shirt off to try to keep you from going back. And now you said," he said, "I went to the most blissful place. There was love and peace. I did not want to leave there." He said, "Man, you're crazy." He said, "No, I think I'm saved." You know, and so this amazing things, these stories of people. And why are they experiencing that all over the world? Because it's a reality. Because it's real. Because it's real. And so we see separation, memory. He remembers his five brothers. He remembers his family. Can you imagine being in hell for billions, trillions, quadrillions of years and thinking about the times that you heard a religious broadcast on the radio, or someone gave you a gospel track, or maybe you went to church for a while. Maybe you're on the road to a Billy Graham crusade. And for billions and trillions of years, oh, I mean, we've all had regrets over, "I should have bought that house, that car, invested in that stock." What would you think about, "Oh, if only, oh, I didn't have to be here. If only I didn't have to be here." Memory. "Send Lazarus to my family." And what does Abraham say? "They have the Bible." Everybody here has got one. Everybody here has got probably many, several. Probably one of the most unread books to be owned in the nation. It's loaded with all this truth. One of the amazing proofs that the Bible is inspired by God is you've got 66 books written by 48 authors. How many authors? Anybody know for sure? I should know that. I've known it in the past. But at this moment, it's eluding me. But it's 45 plus authors, slaves, kings, rulers, tax collectors, fishermen. And when they speak on eternity, on hell, on heaven, they speak with one voice. Complete unanimity of content and information. It's one of the proofs the Bible's inspired by God. Most of them never met each other. Most of them were not contemporaries. And so we see this relationship. "Please let him go warn my brothers." You're getting warned right now. Anybody that watches our YouTube or our Facebook, you're getting warned right now. Right now. From the Gospel of Luke. Then there's an opportunity to repent before death. Abraham reminds him, "You know, you had your good things. You had your opportunities. And now you're there, and he's here." And then we see heaven. And heaven, I mean, there's 327 references to heaven in the Old Testament as God's throne, his location, his home, and other things. And then there's 255 references in the New Testament. We see in John 14:3 that Jesus said, it's a prepared place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I want you there. I want you with me. I want you in heaven. He's not hiding it. He wants it for us more than anything. And he has prepared it for us, specifically designed for each one of us individually. There won't be any redecorations, Kim. There won't be any projects there. We won't have to change a thing. The countertops will be perfect. Perfect. and the splashes and everything else. And so it's a prepared place. And then we're instantly there at death. There's no haunting. All of these shows on TV where they're going these places to seek out these spirits and look at them and photograph them and interview them and tape them. And how stupid. Why did God forbid us from doing that? He said, don't interview familiar spirits. Don't interview spirits that look like your dead loved ones. That's not them. They're demons. There are spiritual realities out there. People are experiencing spiritual real things, but they're demons and they're lying. They're lying about aliens. They're lying about, oh, everybody goes to the same place. Don't worry about it. That's the perfect lie from Satan to destroy humanity. He hates our guts. We're made in the image of God. He wants us all in hell with him. He's on a sinking ship, and he knows it. He wants to bring us all down. Familiar spirits, don't listen to them. I go to prepare for instantly at death. We're not haunting anything. And in fact, the scriptures tell us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. For we are of good courage, and I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And that terminology in the Greek language is instantaneous, quicker than light, quicker than the twinkling of an eye. You know, light from our sun, it only takes it 3 minutes to get here, going across our solar system. That's how fast it goes. The twinkling of an eye, the reflection of light off your surface of your eye, that's how quickly you'll be in heaven when you die. And the Apostle Paul said that, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Instantaneous. And so we see here this aspect. And then we see also there's no marriage bonds in heaven. Everybody talks about, I want to go see my husband, my wife, my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters. I don't want to disappoint you, but when you get there, you won't be. But everybody there will be exactly in the image of Christ, and everybody there will be like Jesus. And so if you're with anybody, you're with Jesus. All of us will be completely glorified, completely sanctified, and all of us will be just like Christ. And he said in Scripture, and let's look at that one together so you will believe me, Matthew 22, if you look in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 23, we see in Scripture that he says, on that day, some Sadducees who say there's no resurrection came to him and questioned Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up an offspring to his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married, died, had no offspring, left his wife to his brother. And the second married, the second brother, the third brother, down to the seventh. And this was a tradition, a Jewish tradition. Last of all, the woman died. I'm sure she said, thank God, I'm ready to go to heaven now. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, there's neither Mary nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that that which is spoken of to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. So there's not marriage relationships in heaven. Now, the one lady whose husband mistreated her, she had put on this tombstone, I'm going to be waiting for you, and you're going to get it. You know, but in actuality, when we get to eternity and we get to heaven, all of us will be brothers and sisters in Christ. Your grandchildren, the boys will be your brothers, the girls will be your sisters. Your wife will be your sister, your husband will be your brother in Christ. And we'll be one gigantic family in eternity, all in Christ, in the image of Christ. And that brings on our next that we'll look at for today. And we will share the nature of God with each other. This is the generosity of God Almighty. This is the riches of heaven that God is going to give us, share with us his nature, the divine nature. He's going to give it to us. He's going to give us omniscience. People ask, do my loved ones see me that have died? They not only see you, they know every molecule of your body. They know how many hairs are on your head. They know the day you're going to die and go join them. They know every single thing about you. We are encompassed about by a cloud of witnesses. 2 Peter 1:4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. So we see here the great joys and glories of heaven, that we're all going to be like Christ, that we're all going to be together, and there will be no more sorrow, no more grieving, no more pain, just an ecstatic experience. Now, we have little looks at that here on earth. Our reunion this week with kids and grandkids, I mean, it's just been a glory for me. There has been some frustration, I will admit, but it's been just a glory watching these little ones and getting covered up with them, kisses and hugs, candy for everybody. You know, it's just magnificent. And it's just a little picture of what heaven's going to be like. And loving each other and talking about Jesus and honoring him and praising him and experiencing him and just the joy and the glory of it. So there's been three destinations for the human soul. There's been Abraham's bosom, which has been closed for 2,000 years. And now there's heaven and hell. And everybody is going to one of those. Everybody you know is going to one of those. Let's do something about it. Amen? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, I just want to ask you, please, today to take this word, your message, your truth, and speak to hearts, Lord. I just pray, if there is anyone under the sound of our voice here, that they will hear Moses and the prophets, that they will hear and they will repent and they will believe and they will be saved by the power of your Holy Spirit. I want to invite you right now, if you're not sure, or maybe the Lord's convicting your heart today, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. You don't want to be in agony. I'd like to invite you right now to just pray and say, dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me and cleanse me and take control of me and live through me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and want you to do business with God today. So let's stand together and sing. We have in the lobby some CDs, music CDs from Darren, from Nick Bennett, Nick and Nancy, and Justin. And if you'd like to get those, they're $10 each on the way out. They'll make wonderful Christmas gifts. If you don't believe me, ask Darren, Nick, or Nancy. And they'll share that with you. And so if you want to grab those on the way out. At this time, we've got with us, I want to share with y'all, my daughter's son-in-law, Josh and Shay, are having a ministry. They're starting apartment churches in South Carolina. And the particular apartments they're working in are the most challenged in Anderson, most crime, gangs, roughest. And they've had some crazy, wonderful experiences. They've had gang members with the gold grills, gold chains. I'm going to cook these burgers for you and make sure y'all are safe. And they've got gang members that have been cooked, where they do cookouts for the apartments. They've led dozens and dozens and dozens to Christ. And they've been taking college kids through there, sharing and training them. And their kids, Clara has baptized like homeless people or whatever, things like that. And it's incredible how God's using them. So I've asked them to come and share with you for just a minute, and then we'll be dismissed. So Josh and Shay, y'all come. And let's give them a hand. Shay grew up here, and Josh was on staff here for several years.
Yeah, it's like coming home. We just want to share with you, we came last spring when we were starting our journey of support raising and ministry, and just wanted to kind of give you an update on what the Lord has been doing. This year has been wild. I'm sure it has been for a lot of you, just in general terms of life. But we've just seen such an amazing response to the gospel. I think the hopelessness of a lot of people's lives and their situation has them hungry and eager more than we've seen in the past. Our goal is unreached, marginalized people. So whether that's refugees in our town or people who just don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel because of their lifestyle and where they live. So we started 3 years ago just going and praying in some of these places and just asking the Lord to like lead us to people of peace, people who need to hear the gospel, people who are hopeless. And so we've been now almost 4 years doing that. And this last year, we decided to do that full time. So to do church planting full time with our family. Our goal is to one day eventually be with unreached people overseas, but twice we've tried to get there and twice the Lord has closed the door. So we're asking him to open our eyes to where he's working here and where we are now. So right now we're in Anderson, South Carolina. So we've been going to places locally. We train college students. This past year, we trained 60 college students and took them out weekly into neighborhoods to share the gospel. Right now, two of them are serving full-time in India. Three of them are on their way overseas, and two of them will be in Africa over Christmas break. We also have a house church that's about 25 to 30 people. All of them are trained in the gospel and share weekly. And we just are trying to disciple people and help them to grow in their faith with Jesus, but to also understand the magnitude of what we heard this morning and the hopelessness that people are living in and give them the opportunity. Makes me tear up thinking about it. So that is really what we're wanting to do with our lives full time. And so we just so greatly appreciated your prayers and the support that you've given us this year. This fall, we had a setback from COVID. Both Josh and I did. Heart issues with me and Josh had some mental health issues from it as well, with inflammation from COVID. And so this has been a very difficult season for us, but the Lord had continued to do his work. And even when we weren't able to go out every week, our church was continuing to go, continuing to meet, continuing to share. And so it's just been a huge blessing to see, even in our weakness, that he is strong and that he has continued his work that he allows us to do, but that he is doing. And so we just want to thank you again for your prayers. And we're excited, as we're both healing and experiencing recovery, we're excited to get back out in the new year and be able to minister more. And the Lord is just continuing to open up our range. So we've been asked to go to several different places. We were with refugees in Nashville, working with Syrians mostly. And so the Lord is just continuing to give us opportunities to share. But we just wanted to kind of give you an update on what the Lord's doing, which is a lot. So that's good. And I've said everything, so now I don't even know what Josh has to say.
Isn't she beautiful? Man, Jesus Christ is worthy of our lives. And I love this church. I love this pastor. I love my father-in-law. You know, in my time here, he told me this over and over again, that eternity is the most important thing on earth, taking people into eternity. And you know, in 2 Peter 3, it says, we are waiting for and hastening the day, the coming of the Lord. Do y'all believe we're living in the last days?
Yes.
These are the last days. And you know, our God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. It's a beautiful thing. And our family's willing to lower into the pit, but we need some people to hold the ropes. And we need your prayers. And we need monthly supporters. And we're praying that there would be at least five in here today. And we love you guys. We're so proud of you. We're so excited for the future, Pastor. And thank you for praying for us this season. We've needed your prayers desperately. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Amen.
So we have some gift cards. Not gift cards. Well, it's a gift of our faces on a prayer card. So we have, for your fridge. So we have prayer cards that we'd like to give you just to remember to pray for us. And then there's also a website on the back that just tells more about what we're doing and also the opportunities to support us if the Lord leads. We'd greatly appreciate that. So we love you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab. And it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.